this is another episode of Bothered AF. A bitty bothered, if you will.
Yes. I'm quite certain this is going to be a very, very fast bitty bothered, just because I'm doing it. And this is the Ash episode.
Takeover.
Yes. Last week, Shauna had hers, or 2 weeks ago. It depends on when we post this one.
We don't know how
it's going to go. We got to fit Casey Anthony in here somewhere, the part two portion of it.
It's coming.
Yeah, yeah. So
maybe it's after this or maybe it's before this. We don't really know just yet.
Either way, hi, welcome to the show.
Sup, guys?
Thanks for coming back. I've got 5 pages of stuff to go over with you, but I talk generally pretty fast and we move through pretty quick. So we'll see. I'm expecting this to be a bitty bothered.
I'm a good listener.
Yeah, yeah, you are. And okay, having said all that, we're just gonna jump into
I don't know what's going on this week. We literally recorded 2 episodes like back to back. We just finished recording my episode, the Cropsy one,
and there may or may not be a Casey Anthony one that pops in between the two. This one,
so like there's really nothing for us to go over. If we talked about it on the Cropsy episode, then it's relevant right now because that was 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, and if we talk about it now, it's gonna be totally unrelevant or.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's things that we want to share with you guys, and we're not even sure if we're going to be able to share it by the time this comes out. So just, hey, if you want to stay in the loop with us, best thing you could possibly do, follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
On Instagram. We post things on there all the time. Oh, the thing that we really want to tell you guys about, I just posted like a little snippet of.
A little teaser, so sneak peek. And by the time, if you're hearing about this now, sorry, you should have been following us 2-3 weeks ago. Damn, you missed out.
It was really cool. Like, I've been working on this thing for, like,
forever.
A minute. Forever. And I'm still trying to surprise Ash with some other stuff. So,
I'm so excited.
This is really cool. And it's, like, for you guys, too.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's for everybody.
It's for everybody.
If you love us and you care about us.
It's like a win-win-win-win-win thing.
Yes. And you're just going to keep winning if you follow us. On the Instagram.
We post funny things on there, too.
Yeah, I'm real sarcastic with a lot of stuff, and I repost a lot of, like, funny horror things.
Uh-huh. Like the Dahmer one.
That one was hilarious. Did you post that?
No, I posted that on my...
I was going to post it on here, too, and I was like, I'm sure Shauna will take care of it.
It was the one where he's at Five Guys, and he's holding his burger, and he's like, I don't think there's Five Guys in here. Oh, my God. I snort laughed way too hard at that when I saw it. I was like, what the fuck? Why is this so funny to me? The fuck is wrong with me?
If you like dark humor, then I highly suggest you go and follow the Instagram. You can keep up with all of our little updates that we have. And you can communicate with us on there. Plus, every week, whenever our episodes come out, we post pictures about what we're posting about.
Yeah,
Shauna's trying to take a picture.
Oh, no, sorry. I was trying to take a video of her, but
I was like, I had to shift really fast. You know, I don't want a crotch on there. Oh, thank you. I'm wearing a dress right now.
That was supposed to be really discreet. No one was supposed to hear anything of this. Anyways, let's let Ash get into her thing because there's nothing new for us to talk about. So,
yes.
Ashley!
Yay!
Yay!
Today, we're going to talk about vampires.
Ooh.
Yes, I'm going a little bit more folklore-y on you today. And vampires have always been, like, my favorite universal character, Halloween character. I love them. And no, not the Twilight vampire.
Oh, God. I was like, what? No, I didn't really like those movies. But speaking of vampires, they have that series on Netflix that was kind of based on Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I have not heard of
it. It was a new one. Holy fuck, it was so good.
When did it come out?
Good. Really recently, maybe
okay, I haven't had time to go
Maybe like a year ago.
That's okay. I should have known about maybe it like, a little year ago. I thought you meant like a couple
weeks. It was like really good. It was cool because like for the first part of it, they do like back, like way back in the day, like Dracula.
How cool.
But then like the second half of it is like modern day with him. Yeah, it was really cool.
Okay.
So she's talking about vampires.
Wait a second. You're not talking about a documentary. It's an actual TV show, like, called Dracula.
Yeah.
I saw it. I love it. And did I'm you obsessed watch all with it, it? And I'm dying for more episodes.
Are they
there's only
do
three
more?
Episodes. I showed my mom
there's
about
like
it,
There's, like, three episodes, but they're, like,
they're long
2 hours long.
Yes.
Like,
okay.
Each one. Yeah.
Just kidding. I know
it's, like, an enormous, like
so
a movie
good.
That's, like, you remember how, like, Titanic back in the day was on two VHS tapes?
Yes.
It's like that.
Yes. Oh, my God, no.
I'd be really mad if, like, one of you guys didn't know what a VHS was. That'd be fucked up. I had
that'd be appalling.
One of the little, the young girls that I employ told me something about not really knowing how to work a VHS. And I was like, damn, sucks to suck, doesn't
wow.
it?
Wow, that's upsetting.
I know.
But yes, okay, so I know what you're talking about then, because I did watch that. I don't know why I thought you were saying it was like a documentary or like a docuseries. I was like, what is this?
No, it was really cool.
That I really enjoyed it.
I was like super
highly
into
recommend.
Like... the spin that they had on it.
Yes.
And, like, the point of view. It was
and how the girl was the same person.
Same person,
but
different.
Different.
Same, but different.
Yes. I really enjoyed that. And they, but they left it off where it was kind of like there could be and should be more episodes to it. So I'm hoping.
I thought it was good enough to where they definitely should do more episodes.
100%.
If you guys haven't watched it, you should watch it.
You really
and
really
now
should.
Ashley's going to talk to us about vampires.
Yes. And I'm not going to spend... really any time on talking to you about what a vampire is, because I would imagine you would all know what a vampire is and, like, how they're kind of described. So we're just going to jump into how they've been talked about for centuries all over the world, and generally a little bit different, but for the most part all pretty much the same. They're all the living dead or brought back to life somehow, separate from zombies. Please don't confuse it with that.
Separate from zombies.
If I can make it enough of an episode, we'll go over zombies a different day. But the appearance of vampires has changed over the centuries. Way back when, they were kind of described as bloated, ruddy, purplish, or just darker in color, believed to be linked to the blood that they were drinking, as opposed to what we often see today. Typically, they're on, like, the leaner side, not bloated skin, you know, a little
really?
Bit more fair and, like, even complected. Yeah.
I've
Which
never
I,
heard
I
that.
Never knew that either, because even Bram Stoker's Dracula,
yeah.
if you watch the movie version of it, they're all sexy and
not
perfect and porcelain
bloated.
And yeah, not bloated. Are you taking a picture or a video? Okay, never mind. I've been trying to, like, not look at you because I don't want to do something stupid.
You never do anything stupid.
Okay, hillbilly over here. Thank you. And then I threw in here, and they are especially not glittery. I read all of the Twilight series books,
oh,
not
you did?
Gonna lie. Like, sure, I was into it. But the movies, it's just, it was so.
Are you excited that she announced
fantasy?
That she's doing the new book?
All of my friends have it. I keep seeing it all over Instagram.
The one where it's from Edward's point of view?
Yeah, low key, I'm kind of curious, like, to read it, but at the same time, I don't want to feel like a 12-year-old little girl again.
Sorry if you guys had to hear me. Pull my thighs off the chair. I felt like that
so,
was loud.
It's a leather chair. When you're wearing shorts, everything's just
sticks
to it.
Wow. Yeah, no, I feel like that would kind of be like an interesting take on it.
I do want to read it because
I
read all the other ones.
Bella was super self-absorbed.
Very.
Which is why I didn't like...
I didn't like how...
It didn't speak to me.
We're not going to talk about the movies. They were a little bit more of a disappointment than I was really hoping for. Again.
Jacob was really hot, though.
No. No, I don't. I'm not a werewolf person either, so maybe I was just more excited about the whole vampire thing, and it was
oh,
just
so you're not into
I was
bestiality.
Let down.
Does that mean you are?
No, I didn't say that.
But no, I'm not. For the record,
I didn't say I was into werewolves.
You said Jacob was oh. hot. I'm just saying. Look at our laughter upset Kona. She didn't like laughter.
Uh-oh. Sorry, guys. Sean over here making inappropriate jokes.
That was really funny.
No, actually, did you know that that's, like, a thing? Not bestiality.
I was gonna say yeah.
That is a thing. No, I watched this thing. I think it was on Vice about this chick that was exploring people that want to have sex with like fictional characters like that, like werewolves and things like that. And there's like a whole thing of like people that write sexual novels about. People having sex with stuff like that. It was kind of funny because she went to like these graphic designers that basically like built her monster.
Really?
I think it was like literally like they called it like a monster kind of thing, and these guys like helped her design one, and they made like a cartoon. You
like
know,
a cartoon porn.
Like a cartoon
type
porn type thing with her looking regular and the monster.
Guys, this episode just got real X-rated right now. So sorry if your kids are in the room. There was no warning about that.
Sorry.
Really?
I feel like it's kind of relevant.
Yeah, a little bit from your comment. Spun off it went, but it fits. It's perfect. That's kind of interesting. I had never heard about that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. I was.
And now all of a sudden I'm very curious. Do people do this with Freddy Krueger and like everybody else too?
The girl actually has like a whole entire series of her going exploring like fetishes and stuff. And like talking to people about like why they do it. Like I watched one episode about people that like to fuck trees. Like, they get turned on even just, like, by touching, like, moss on trees and stuff.
You mean, like, Superstar, how she'd go and, like, hug the tree? Was, like,
yeah, kind of like that. And then they like to be, like, in the forest all, you know, with nature. That episode was really weird. I think they got, like, sexual gratification out of walking, like, barefoot into the woods.
Interesting.
Although I really like the woods.
Where are you going with that?
I'm just kidding. I don't like going barefoot anywhere.
I don't know why I'm going to keep this conversation going. there's a show on Netflix, and for the love of God, I can't remember what it's called right now, but it's an Australian guy, and he plays six different characters, and so it goes between, like, these different scenes, and so one of them, she's this crazy lady who believes she can talk to dogs and all the animals, and she's a therapist for the dogs.
Oh, my God.
And then in another one, he's this crazy fashion designer who has this, like, I forget what it's called, but you're turned on by machines. And so he had a relationship with the cash register at his store. And then all of a sudden...
At his store.
And then he had a relationship with his vacuum at his store. And that was just kind of what that reminded me of like, being turned on by trees and, like, objects. But it's...
That's so weird.
I think it's a real thing that people are, like, attracted to.
It's like, inanimate objects?
Yeah, inanimate objects.
Oh, I think I saw that on, like, what was that show that you...
My Crazy Addiction.
My Crazy Addiction. I think I saw it like on something like that.
Never watched it. But if I can think of what the name of the show was called, it's really, really, really funny, especially the younger little boy character that he plays. Everything is just, come here, you fucking cunt. It's so funny. He's hilarious. I can't think of the name. Sorry.
Sorry for taking Ashley like super off topic.
Hey,
anyways.
Maybe this won't be a bitty bother anymore.
A bunch of full-length episodes, right? But yeah, sorry about that. Anyways,
okay.
These are not
Edward
Cullen vampires that we're talking about. We're talking about some other shit.
So we're talking about legitimate people thought they were real at this point.
That's so crazy.
So, you know, you're in 18th, 19th century. This is a really, really long time ago. But you've also got these cultures that believe that they could tell if a corpse was going to turn into a vampire. And in many cases, various cultures would come up with ways to just try to be preventative of everything altogether.
Wait, they thought that they could tell if, like...
Yes.
When someone, like, when they buried them there, if they were going to, like, come back as a vampire?
Yes.
Do you go into how they thought that?
A little bit.
Okay, cool. I was like, how did they do this?
So, it changes and it's different between the different cultures and the different regions. But in Slavic and Chinese traditions, if a corpse was jumped over by an animal, in particular a cat or a dog, it was believed that they would turn into the undead. And I didn't get specifications onto this whole thing as to, like, were you in a room with the undead and the cat and you waited to see if the cat jumped over the person or if it stayed away from the body or if it was just like happenstance that you happened to see an animal jump over this person. There was no real like one way or the other like with it.
Like differentiating it.
But basically like if that happened, if you saw an animal jump over the body, then it was like, that person's going to come back to life. Yeah.
What?
Then they also had, if a body had a wound that had not been treated with boiling water, it was also seen as a potential risk. So if I don't know if it was, that was the wound that they died from, or they just happened to have,
like a
paper cut or something on their hand. You know, this is I don't know what time it was.
With boiling water.
If it wasn't treated with boiling water, then you were basically putting them in, and there was a chance that they could come back as the undead. So.
Huh.
And then there are, like I mentioned before, other cultures that were just trying to be preventative of their loved ones coming back as the undead. And I got a lot more information on this. They did a lot of shit. Burying a corpse upside down was a very common practice back in the day. 19th century, I believe this was.
Okay.
Or 18th century, I forget. As was placing earthly objects, such as scythes or sickles, either near the grave, almost as like an offering to the demons trying to possess the body and to kind of keep the dead from wanting to come out of the coffin. Or some cultures would even put those sharp objects in the coffin with the body so as the body would start to bloat during the decomposition process, the object would pierce them and be like, well, you can't come back
now.
You
can't do it now.
Ancient Greeks would place an obelus.
Wait, this goes all the way back to ancient Greece?
Mm-hmm. Sure does.
I didn't realize that, like, the folklore of vampires went back that far. Or, like, something similar. That was, like, connected.
I don't know that at that point everybody was able to connect it and be like, oh, this is the same thing and all these different...
But it was something.
There was some belief this person was going to rise from the dead. And so they would put an obelus, which I put in parentheses so that everybody would know, means a coin, basically, in the corpse's mouth to, I thought this was really cool, to pay the toll to cross the river Styx in the underworld. So it was
there's no reason
for you to not be able to cross over.
I've heard about this. Like, oh.
You take this money and you go. You go with God. You go with Hades, whatever the hell the process is. And it's also been argued that the coin would be more of like a talisman that would also ward off any evil spirits. Because clearly that coin's not going to decompose like it would the body. But it would be like a blessed thing where it's just like nothing can take the body. But the spirit can take the monetary value of the coin with them and then cross the river Styx at the same time.
That's crazy.
I thought that one was kind of neat.
You know, that's another thing that kind of ties into like what we talked about in the last episode, like with the Hat Man and how people have like seen it like all over.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's crazy that like obviously you're talking about it's going all the way back to ancient Greece and that's not where we like really think of it being from.
And how do you have that communication? It's not like you're gonna fly.
Exactly.
It's not like there's internet. Like
this was at a time when people weren't, like, traveling the way that they are now. So, but all of these people are experiencing something so similar.
And a lot of this, too.
In different places.
If it wasn't documented in, like, medical journals and things like that, it was a lot of this stuff, and I think it's a little bit further down, but it was discovered when, like, current day, like, mummies are being found with certain objects. And it's just like, oh, it's believed based on... I don't know.
On this or that.
Hieroglyphs and stuff, but like that.
Yeah.
This is what we believe that they were doing this for.
Oh, that's crazy.
I know. It's neat. That's so many things. Germans were a little bit more vicious. They would often decapitate their dead and place the head between their feet or away from the body. This reminded me of Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah. You said that and I was like,
yes.
Where was that? Where did
totally
that one take place?
That.
No. That took place here, but back east.
Yes.
Yes, right?
Yes, but I believe there was something that had to do with, like, German or something.
That's what I thought. It was
well
something
too.
From, like, over, like, in Europe. Something European had
something
to do
European,
with it.
But it was still happening here in the United States.
Watching Sleepy Hollow tonight.
Ah, there you go. And they would sometimes have either the clothes or the body itself would be pinned to the earth, quote, pinned to the earth. But, however, I'm thinking maybe they meant it was pinned to the inside of the casket. But it was a way so that way the body would not be able to rise and, like, get up. And in less extreme cases, they would place a lemon in the mouth of the deceased. So,
lemon.
Most oftentimes, they would decapitate their people. But sometimes a lemon it was like, well, just put a lemon in there, you'll be fine.
Okay.
Other preventative methods commonly practiced in Europe included severing the tendons at the knees, so that way they just couldn't get up and walk around again.
Okay.
And also placing poppy seeds, millet, or sand on the ground at the grave site of somebody who they already kind of suspected was a vampire, because they thought this would keep the vampire busy all night by having them count the fallen grains, which was an indication of them associating the vampires with having erythromania, which is basically OCD.
Oh.
And it's cool because it even ties into what the Chinese believed about it. If a vampire came across a sack of rice, it would have to, like, it just could not walk past that bag of rice, and it would have to count out every single grain of rice.
What?
So for two different cultures on two different parts of the earth to be,
they
like...
They both kind of...
The vampires have OCD. They can't not stop and count all these grains of rice or grains of sand on the floor.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Yeah, I think that was really cool.
That's a cool connection.
Great. And I've never heard anything in modern-day vampire stories about how they have OCD with anything. Or
no,
how they have to count
never.
Things meticulously. Except for Sesame Street. He's a counter. I gotta get used
you
to this
crap. You are so ready to be a mom.
Him and the grouchy trash can man are the only characters that I know next to Big Bird.
We don't watch Sesame Street.
I don't plan on it. I hope not to have to watch Sesame Street, but...
Something came on YouTube the other day, and he was like, Mom, can you turn that off?
Yes.
So I was like, thank God.
That and Barney, so help me God. No.
No.
No. I was raised on Ren and Stimpy and all the old-fashioned Nickelodeon cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do Barney shit. No.
Gross.
So, this one, it's in Venice. They would force a brick into the mouth of a corpse. That was something that was found of, like, mummified remains. And in Bulgaria, they would force metal objects such as plow bits into the torso. Another thing that was found as mummified remains. And that's people they were able to do to scientists or whoever's digging these bodies up were able to deduce that it was because
of the
vampire fear.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Some cultures would pour boiling water over the grave and would even cremate the body entirely.
Okay.
Didn't want it to come back. And the boiling the water was like a purification thing, so it was kind of
I wonder
just,
if that's how cremation became, like, really
popular. I don't
know.
I was going to divvy off with it, and I was like, I'm just not going to go down a whole different spiral of this, but I don't know
if that's how it came about.
Google. Figure it out. When did cremation start and why? I want to know. She's going to look while I continue to read. In Romania, they would put garlic in the mouth of the corpse or shoot at the corpse through the coffin with their guns and just be like, boom, boom, boom. Okay, cool.
You're joking.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Blindly shooting through the coffin. And in extreme situations, the body would be dismembered and the pieces would be burned, mixed with water, and administered to a family member as a cure. I don't know as a cure for what, but you would drink your dead. You would drink your own dead person's ashes.
That's really weird.
Fucking gross.
Okay, do you guys want a little bit of an answer?
Yes, we do.
So, the practice of cremation on open fires was introduced to the Western world by the Greeks as early as 1000 BCE. They seem to have adopted cremation from some northern people as an imperative of war to ensure soldiers slain in alien territory a homeland funeral attended by family and fellow citizens. That was from
I like that.
Britannica, and then Wikipedia has their own thing, and it just says that it appeared around 12th century BCE, constituting a new practice of burial, probably influenced by Anatolia, and until the Christian era when inhumation again became the only burial practice. Both combustion and inhumation have been practiced since then, basically.
Wow.
So it says that it's
very long
depending
time
on the era and location.
And not necessarily having
none
to do
of
anything
them
with vampires.
I'm bummed. Balls. I was hoping that would be like the answer.
Yeah, right. Vampires. It's vampires. Vampires started this whole entire trend.
I was hoping
then
to, like,
it's like, okay, then we're being cremated then.
I was hoping to, like, throw something extra in for you so you could be like, yes, look at how cool this is. But
that's okay. That was still pretty cool. As I hoped. I mean, the whole war thing, I thought, was respectable, at
least.
Yeah,
that was nice.
So, yeah, disgusting. I'm not drinking my dead person's ashes.
It's really gross.
Fuck you. No, thank you. There were a few ways that people would try to identify a vampire amongst the living.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody who's already converted or turned into a vampire. One way was you find the vampire's grave by leading a virgin boy through the graveyard or the church ground while he's on the back of a virgin horse. And in certain cultures, it had to be a black horse or a white stallion horse.
That's kind of like Hocus Pocus. Isn't there something about a virgin boy in that one?
He is the virgin boy. He has to light the black flame candle.
Hmm. Something about virgin boys.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Feeling like a vibe.
Right? But the horse would supposedly, like, freak out or, like, balk at the grave in question. So when they came upon it, it would be like, no, this is the one.
Like, get away, get away from me.
So, and if there were any holes appearing in the earth over a grave site, that was also taken as a sign of vampirism. Not like, you know, an animal couldn't just fucking dig a hole. Just saying.
There's
ways to pin that one out, but all right.
It's a sane reason from a reliable source.
Yes. In some cases where... When suspected graves were opened, villagers would describe the corpse as having fresh blood from a victim all over its face, which they were like, that's totally proof that the vampire was active and that they were out and they were drinking blood last night. And supposedly, vampires could also make their presence felt by engaging in minor poltergeist-like activities, such as hurling stones on the roofs of houses and businesses, or moving household objects and pressing on people in their sleep. And to be honest, I feel like that sounds more like sleep paralysis to me.
But and maybe they just didn't know.
Yeah, of course, I'm sure.
Especially for seeing someone, which we've talked about.
There you go. You feel a presence. You can hear footsteps walking into the house. If you have not listened to that episode, we reference it all the damn time.
Yeah.
Go listen to it. And everybody that I've talked to has said that it scared the crap out of them, so
I know. Alejandra was like, dude. So
I've had a couple people who tell me, like, I'm sorry, I can't. I started to listen to it, and I can't get through it.
She said the same thing at first. She was like, girl, I don't know if I can do that.
In the Balkans, a vampire could also be killed by being shot or drowned by repeating the funeral service. It's like, we already did this once. I'm putting you back down.
By doing a second one.
Sprinkling holy water on the body or by exorcism. So you can go those routes. In the 19th century, there were a lot of cases of premature burial. So I'm kind of shifting gears now. Instead of, you know, I've given you all the examples of, like, the different cultures and how they would handle their situations. This is a little bit... I was going to say a little bit more present day, but it's definitely not present day. It's a little bit newer times than all of that. There were a lot of cases of premature burial due to different diseases and things that were hitting people in towns all across the world.
Doesn't that make you wonder how fast they buried their people?
Yeah, I feel like a lot faster than what we do today.
Yeah, I mean, like...
They sit there
You
for,
would clearly
like, a
be able to
two.
Know if someone was, like...
Well, so
dead.
These people were being pronounced dead and waking up somewhat hours later or even days later.
It's like a coma. Maybe they
basically
just didn't know what a coma was.
Basically, with such a low heart rate that you couldn't really tell with their technology at that time. You couldn't tell that the person was still actually alive. And with, I don't know the name of all the different diseases that were going on at the time, but some of them would slow the person's heart rate down so much that it was like, no, like, I don't hear anything, I don't feel anything, they're cooler in temperature, and, like, the medical professionals at the time were like, no, these persons are clearly dead, but they were not.
Ooh.
And so some people would wake up still in the medical examiner's room when they, I just said woke up twice, cool, good job, that's what I get for trying to talk ahead of my notes. Others were already buried, and if the families insisted enough and they were like, no, something doesn't feel right, please, like, exhume this person's body, a lot of coffins were being found to have the insides of the lids just totally scratched to hell. The victims' fingernails and just tips of their fingers were totally bloody and splintered, and you can tell that their faces were kind of distorted and their body positions were a little bit, like, tweaked from them panicking trying to get out of the coffin. That scares the crap out of me. The thought of being buried alive or waking up and you're in a small space. I have major claustrophobia. That does not sit well with me at all.
No, that's terrible.
I'm already getting dry mouth from it. Like, it's just, no. So
that makes me feel gross.
Imagine finding out that, like, you just buried your wife or your child or your parent and they weren't really dead. Like, how upsetting.
I've also heard, I forget what case I was researching recently, that when I was researching it, I had come across something like that about, like, grave robbers.
Like
trying to grave rob and then finding people.
Oh, and then they find. And then it's so kind of just up. Like, I know I was committing a crime, but here, look at this.
But, like,
look at that. Look at that.
Yeah.
Ew. I don't like that at all. So, this was happening so often that people were starting to invent safety coffins. And it would be something as, like, you've got your mausoleum and there's a window built into the mausoleum that the workers, when they make their rounds, can walk by, look into the window, make sure, is that body decomposing? We're good? We're good? Okay, cool. And then, like, cover up the window so that they couldn't see the body continue to decompose.
Oh.
They would have a bell that was tied to the body and strung up all the way through the grave with, like, I don't know, like a pipe or something like that, so that way the string could move by being attached
creepy.
To their fingers or their feet.
And, did you ever watch The Nun?
No, I did not.
Oh, you should go watch it.
And they did say that there were a lot, and this is the first thing that I thought of, because I've known about this for a really long time, but it's like, well, what if an animal or what if the wind, like, rings the bell for you? Like, how fucking scary to just be out there and be like, I'm patrolling to making sure that no one's here alive.
No one's
like,
alive.
And then all of a sudden you hear the bells going and it's like, oh, that would scare me so much.
That's creepy.
But it would be just to, like, if I'm in a coffin and all of a sudden I'm, like, freaking out and I'm like, oh my God, get me out of here. I'm going to be moving my feet and my hands.
Yeah.
And then as long as nobody cut the frickin' string to the bell, you'll hear me. I thought this was really cool. In the 1820s, there was the, quote, portable death chamber in Germany. Basically a small chamber equipped with a bell to be able to signal and tell people, like, hey, I'm alive in here, plus a window that was meant to be able to view the body. It was constructed over an empty grave, and your graveyard watchman would check every day for signs of life or decomposition. And they would check each of the chambers. If the bell was ever rung, the person could be removed immediately. But if the watchman observed signs of decomposition in the corpse, the door, there would be like a door in the floor of the little chamber that they built.
Okay.
And that could be opened and the body would drop down into the grave.
Oh,
just
wow.
Like, doo-doo, bye.
Just drop.
Yep. Which I think is a little rude. I wouldn't want that happening to my loved one.
A little insensitive.
But then a panel could be then slid over to cover the grave, and then the upper chamber could be removed and continuously reused by different people. That was a surefire way to be like, well, it's like a Sleeping Beauty, not a Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, and she's in her little glass coffin case, and it's just like, well, she's not rotting, so she's still alive.
So she's fine.
Yeah, she's probably hungry. She's not hooked up to an IV or anything, but...
so fucked up.
Right? I critique cartoons too much. And, other designs later down the road included an emergency alarm, an intercom system, a torch, otherwise known as a flashlight as well, in parentheses, breathing apparatuses, and a heart monitor and stimulator.
Oh, wow.
So this came much, much later down the road, but just as an extra precaution, you know, they were still trying to make sure that they didn't accidentally bury someone who was still alive. And I thought this was really neat, too. This is where the whole Saved by the Bell actually comes from.
No.
Most people think that it has a lot to do with boxing. And,
okay.
Like, the bell rings at the end and you're kind of saved.
You're saved.
But this is actually where it really, really generated from. It's just the boxing thing kind of sticks a lot with more people.
Oh, that's crazy.
As well as Dead Ringer. Because you're...
Yeah, you're dead, you're...
And then Graveyard Shift. Because somebody's got to be out there patrolling the graveyard at night or during the daytime, whenever it is, but just to make sure
that the bodies aren't coming up out of the ground.
Because think about it, you've got to have somebody out there all the time, because even if it's like in the middle of the night, like what if I have a heart attack because I'm so afraid? Like, you've got to get to me immediately and get me out of there. And so I briefly touched on, we're all familiar with Bram Stoker's novel Dracula from 1987. Did you know he was Irish?
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. He was born in Dublin in 1847. But he was the one who wrote, like, the first main story of vampires, and that's what really, like, caused everything to kind of spiral and other books to come out and the movies to come out. My mom was the first person who ever showed me Bram Stoker's Dracula the movie.
Which one? I think isn't there two?
The original one.
Oh, the original? Okay.
Yes. That one's fantastic.
Cool.
So if you've never seen it, it's really, really good. Highly recommend. Everybody's got to start somewhere. Start back there. Gotcha. So, trying to make this as quick as possible. There's a blood disorder called porphyria that is primarily linked to the belief that vampires are real.
Okay.
Porphyria still exists to this day. But it's a blood disorder that is basically a buildup of chemicals that are related to the red blood cell proteins. And without being so boring and trying to lose everybody on this, porphyrins are essential for the function of hemoglobin. It aids in binding iron and carries oxygen to your organs and your tissues. It's a very vital thing. It is something that can be treated with, you know, medication and just kind of easing the pain and all that jazz, but it cannot be cured. Even to this day.
So it can be treated but not cured.
Yes. This disease was very prevalent among Eastern European royalty and nobility, and it's something that's passed along genetically. However, it's still pretty rare. There's fewer than 20,000 cases per year in the U.S.
Okay.
Their symptoms that one would typically experience with porphyria. Do you tell me if this sounds anything like your typical vampire? Okay. So, one, extreme sensitivity to sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads to facial disfigurement, blackened skin, and hair growth. The facial disfigurement will come even without being in direct sunlight because of the lack of oxygen that your body's getting.
Mm-hmm.
Having poor oxygenation to the skin, especially in the face area, leads to the tissues falling apart and the eventual collapse of the facial structure. And anyone who's suffered with this would obviously feel super upset about their appearance and thus avoid looking in mirrors or possibly not have mirrors in their home at all.
Okay.
So, no sunlight, no mirrors.
That sounds familiar.
The gums will recede, exposing more of the teeth, giving a fang-like appearance.
Okay.
Urine comes out dark red instead of the usual pale yellow, or dark yellow, orange, depends on how hydrated you are. Some physicians would recommend that these patients drink animal blood to compensate for their own defective blood.
Oh, my God.
Not sure what that has to do with the pee.
I want to know what kind of blood.
I imagine, like, pig's blood, things like that.
Crazy.
But you're going out and getting blood now. You also have the inability to eat garlic. Apparently, garlic contains sulfur. Learn something new every day.
Oh, so that's why they're against the garlic.
Yes, because sulfur is known to be able to bring on a porphyria attack, which would be like severe pain in your abdomen, back, limbs, nausea, a lot of vomiting, constipation, hypertension, insomnia, anxiety, and motor weaknesses. So most people with this disease would just know to totally steer clear of garlic and be like, fuck no, I'm not touching that,
nope,
sorry.
Nowhere.
So you've got people that can only go out at night because of the sunlight sensitivity. They're on the hunt for blood, animal blood to be exact. Scary fang-like teeth, no mirrors up in their house, and they despise garlic. Is any of this starting to sound familiar
at
all?
Sounds exactly
like your vampires.
Like a vampire.
During the Spanish Inquisition, vampires were supposedly burned at the stake. And some of these accused vampires were just innocent people who suffered from the disease. This made people kind of just live in fear of the crucifix in general. So other religious symbols and things like that, they didn't want to be killed for being thought of as a monster.
Wow.
Yes. But, yeah. I tried to make that as quick as possible. That's my little spiel about that vampires.
That was
like
40 minutes. That was cool.
tried to
like
throw
that was like
in
a
there.
Lot of information I've never
that
heard
was what
before.
I was going for.
I honestly would have been like, vampires, they originated with Bram Stoker. Like, that's just...
That's generally
like,
what
that's
everybody
like
thinks.
The timeline,
yeah.
Anyways. Like, that's kind of where I would go back to and be like, oh, well... But that's not.
A little bit of an abrupt ending there. I didn't really know how to end that. Sorry, my bad.
There's not really a great way that you could, like,
not really.
End it. I mean, you weren't talking about, like, a case.
No, there's nothing really specific about it because it's, like, everything was so generalized. Different cultures dealt with it in their own
ways.
That's
really cool that all of those other cultures all kind of have their own version of it. I thought that was cool.
I liked it.
I've never heard that about vampires before, so.
Right.
That was kind of cool to hear. I like that. Thank you.
Hopefully that was informative.
You're welcome. I felt like it was. I'm walking away with more information.
Right. A little bit more fascination about vampires.
I know.
One day we'll talk about zombies, maybe, if I can get enough information.
One day.
We'll see.
No, we'll do it. We've got a lot coming up.
We have so much coming
up,
you guys.
We have, like, so much planning.
So much. And I think part of me was like, it's 11 o'clock, and I was like... I still got to edit the other episode, post it up online to make sure it's ready to go tomorrow morning because we both work. I don't want to go to work.
Aww.
For reasons that I will not say, I just don't want to go to work.
It's okay, me either.
And I haven't even eaten dinner yet.
Me either.
Meh.
Wait, you haven't eaten dinner yet?
No, and I'm not going to. It's too late
for me. I'm about to, like, sock Ashley in the face, honestly.
I wasn't hungry before.
She didn't eat dinner, and there's, like, a baby in her belly.
She's fine. She's not hungry either. I'm not hungry either. I was just saying. I lost track of time. I had to give myself my shot.
Anyways, guys, that was a cool episode. I enjoyed not having to do any work for that. That was cool.
I know. I'm kind of digging these, like, takeovers.
We might have to try it a few more times.
We might have to keep it going. I think it's helping, too, because we are trying to cram so many episodes in right now that it's just kind of, like, alleviates a little bit of stress.
Exactly. And, like, some, you know, obviously you have your own things that you really find interesting that maybe, like, the other person isn't as interested in.
Or has no fucking idea what the hell you're talking about. And it's just, like, cropsy? What?
She's like,
handle it. By all means.
But, like, then for me, I'm doing, like, I'm reading the book on the Zodiac right now and another book on Charles Manson. So I've got, like, notes coming out my ass
Good.
For everything, so.
Good. Yes, our dear friend Bianca got us
some serial killer
serial
stuff.
Killer books. So I'm like,
The books are one thing, but...
They're gonna be so
detailed.
This
is gonna sound, like, really fucked up, but I still think it's great. She got me, like, a little pin for my jacket that's Richard Ramirez's hand with the pentagram on it.
Yeah, on his palm. And he's
on
like,
his palm.
You know the picture. We
you
posted
know
the picture.
You know the picture. And it's a pin.
It is so good.
And, I love it. She got me another one that has Charles Manson's eyes on it, and then it says Helter Skelter. And I'm reading Helter Skelter right now.
So it means a lot to you.
So I was just like,
Yeah, we're those people.
I thought that the pin was really, really cool.
I think it's really awesome. I think it's very neat. And we're going to... Never mind, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything because it's going to be a while.
I don't even know what she was going to say, but...
That's fine. It's just about ideas and projects and things.
Oh, so many of those right now.
It's far enough out where it's just like, I don't want to get people too excited about it, but things are happening.
We're trying so hard.
Yes.
I think in like the last month I've spoken to like 10 different graphic designers.
That's the only hint you're getting.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's about it.
That's it. And like I said before, if you want to keep up in the loop with us, follow us on Instagram, bothered_AF. Eventually, we'll start posting more on Facebook.
On Facebook,
right?
Yeah. There's a page. It's just bothered_AF. Just
But you got to be part of it.
You're
going to
go there,
like
just
the
like
page.
The page. Don't, like, view the page.
Otherwise, she's not going to post
go
anything.
Away. I haven't posted
what
anything.
What is she
going
to do? Talk to herself?
Exactly.
Write things and be like, nobody's going to answer back, so
if I was
going
to do that, I just post it to my regular Facebook page. Damn.
Well, I'm sure you'd get more people to respond back to you there.
I probably would. Honestly. I guess, like I say,
I don't Facebook. I Instagram and I email.
You can email us, yeah. Yeah, we talked about that on the last episode. It was really cool. Send us your stuff. Tell us
things. Yes, because we did have somebody send us. I've got a couple of people who email us things every once in a while, but you know, if you want to actually tell us your stories.
Or even just like something like really fucked up that's happened to you.
Yeah.
Like maybe you had an encounter with someone that like...
Someone in your family did
something.
Does things, or you know, you have a connection to something by a friend, yeah. Or whatever it is. I really
like
don't care.
Like that one cousin that I have that swears that her and her half-sister got asked to go on a double date by the Menendez brothers before they were arrested for killing their parents.
Story. I would read that story out loud.
Yeah.
If you wanted to send it over, if they wanted to send
If I want to send it over. I mean, I know the story. Send your own story over? I guess I might as well type it up and send it to you, huh?
Or you can just
share
read
it the next episode.
There you go. Yeah, but type us out your stories. Tell us things.
Everything.
And then let us know if you want us to say your name or not, too. That helps.
Yeah, that helps. The last one was very good about it. Yes. So. That was cool. But yeah, guys, hope you enjoyed that. That one was really fun. I enjoyed listening to that. I got some really cool information that
I have
never heard about. I was very
really cool.
Intrigued by that.
I love that kind of crap.
Yeah. No,
I don't like regular history class, but this kind of stuff where it's just, I find it fascinating.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Well, guys.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. It was
Bye. Great
to talk to you. Have a good one.
Deuces.
And until next time.
Stay bothered.
Bye.